Mark 4:35 is where we are. Mark 4:35. That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." Pray with me for a minute. Lord, thank you for these truths that we read and we ask, that as we look at them, that we might be able to apply them to our lives, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Several years ago, I had a friend who was a barber in our church where we were, and he was off on Mondays, and I was off on Mondays, and so he thought that I should be his sidekick on Mondays. So I became his deckhand. He loved to go shrimping and oystering. And one time we went on Big Lake there south of Lake Charles. And it was a beautiful day when we started, but after we were dragging the net for a while, I kept saying, "Jim, look, there's a cloud on the gulf there. It's coming this way." And he'd say, "Well, we'll just go a little bit longer, and then we'll go home." And we'd be working with, and I'd say, Jim, the cloud's getting bigger, and there's lightning coming out of it." And the wind was starting to blow. And he said, "Well, we'll just go a little longer, and then we'll go home." So I looked up from the net at one point, and that cloud that was over there was right here. And the lightning was popping around us, and the wind was blowing, and the waves were getting kind of rough. And then Jim said, "I think we should go home." But at that point, I was scared. Now, this wasn't a little 16-foot, it was a bigger boat, but it was bobbing up and down like a cork in that water. And the wind blew, and it didn't take a second. We were wet, and lightning was popping around us. And I thought, "Dear God, I'm coming to see you today. Prepare the way." I was scared. And if you've ever been anything like that, and you read this story, you can really understand what these men were going through that night. They were on the lake at night. They were on the Dead Sea, up the Sea of Galilee at night. And that was a powerful thing. I read up on that, and it tells that even today that storms come up very quickly on this sea, because there are mountains on each side of it. And on the north side, Mount Hermon, when the north winds come down off that mountain, they sort of make a wind tunnel through there. And very quickly, you can get into a point where you are almost drowning because the winds get so strong and the waves get so high. And that's what happens here in this. When you look at this story, I don't think what I went through was anything compared to what these men were going through. You might be experiencing storms in your life. And I have to tell you that as we go through storms, God wants us to, he wants to help us through these storms. And he wants us to emerge from the other side stronger Christians and ready to face even bigger things in our lives. Now, I want you to notice something about this. Storms are a part of everyday life. If you don't believe it, you're not alive. I think we could raise our hands, every one of us, and say, in 2016, we went through some kind of storm in our lives. I'm not talking about physical storms. Some of us did do that. But spiritual things and things that threatened our existence, maybe even. When we talk about that, no one gets through life without experiencing storms. I think most of our lives probably contain storms that we could share for a long time. Even Jesus went through storms in his life as a human being. Sometimes we think of Jesus as having a perfect life. Why, nothing ever bad happened to him. Nothing negative happened to him. And that's not true. Read the life of Jesus. He lost people he loved. He went through some awful things before the cross that we don't even experience in our own lives. Storms come in many forms in our lives. Sometimes it's unjust criticism. It might be broken relationships, loss of a job, problems at work, sickness for ourselves or somebody we love, death in our families. And it's tough. Life is hard. And then we die, as the fellow says. But storms come in every life. Secondly, yeah, I want you to realize that storms come even when we're in the center of God's will. Now, sometimes people say, oh, if you're in God's will, nothing bad's going to happen to you. Is that true? No. Even right here in the scripture, we see that Jesus was right there. Jesus put them on this boat. Now, what happened was that Jesus was teaching in that boat all day. If you read earlier in the chapter, when so many people came out on the shore there, he backed up, and like he did oftentimes, he got into the boat, and they backed the boat off a little bit so that he could see and talk to all these people. And just as soon as he was done teaching, he said, let's go across to the other side. And so we're talking about probably right at the end of the day, and things are starting to settle down as far as activity out there. But when it comes to the activity on the sea, suddenly this wind blows up. He made the disciples go on that trip. He's the one who made them do it. In fact, he's the one who insisted that they go. I think sometimes we forget that we have an enemy when we're in God's will, who fights to bring storms in our lives so we'll give up. We look at all the great men and women of faith in the Old and New Testament. And the more they served God, it seems the more storms they had in their lives. And you go through Moses, you go through any of the Old Testament prophets, and they had some terrible times in their lives. You go through the New Testament, even these men we're talking about here today, once Pentecost came and they began to teach the gospel, they were persecuted, they were put in jail, they were beaten. Nobody goes through life without storms, even when you're in the center of God's will. And the third thing I want you to notice too about storms is that they're not a sign of God's absence. They're not a sign of God's absence. That's usually the first question we ask when things get hard. Where are you, God? Right? Where were you when this happened to me? And what's the answer? God's there. God's there, and he is giving you strength through that storm. In fact, when you look at this scripture, where was Jesus during this storm? Was he somewhere else? Was he on the shore? Was he on a vacation? Where was he? What does it say? Look at verse 38. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. He was there. He was right there with him. Why does God not seem to be there when we're going through storms? Most of the time, I think it's because we, as human beings, are so caught up in our own problems that we don't take time to see him. Just like these men. Can you imagine what they were going through when that storm hit? What were they doing? What would you be doing if you were on a boat in the middle of this place? And all this went up. Some guy's got a bucket and he's getting all the water out that he can as quick as he can. The other guys are on the oars. Somebody else is taking the sail down so they don't get blown off. Other people are trying to throw things off the boat. It was a big pandemonium. It was a mess. And they're all panicking. Like I was on that boat with Jim that day. I was looking for the life vest. I wanted not just one, I wanted them all. And I'm thinking, Jim, do you know where to go to get out of the storm? And by the way, it didn't help me that Jim went under one of those platforms out there that are made out of metal. And he said, we'll be okay under here. And lightning is popping. Jim, this is a big lightning rod. Get out. Now, these men were doing everything they could. And they were so involved in it that for a while they didn't even see Jesus. And what was Jesus doing? Sleeping. Why? Because he was tired. That's a good answer. That's the right answer. He had been teaching all day. But he knew that he was in control. He was in control, and so he was at peace. He knew what would happen. He knew that they would go through this storm. When he said, let's go across the river, the lake, he knew what would happen. He knew everything before it happened. Do you think that God is surprised by anything that happens in your life? No, he's not. He knew it. He knew it ahead of time. And he's there. I think it's clear from the scripture that the Bible says he knows what you're going through. He's well aware of the confusion and the pain you're feeling. He's present even though you may not be able to see him through all your confusion. They've done tests where they've tried to figure out if eyewitnesses are accurate. And they've had people run into a store with a banana in their hand and say, stick them up. And witnesses have sworn that that guy had a pistol in his hand. And they've done tests like that. And when you get in confusion, you don't see what's truly going on. And we do that sometimes when we're in a panic over a storm in our life. But I believe that God comes to us to help us, to comfort us just as he did with these men. They say, well, it's great that God's with me, but why does God allow me to go through storms? I want God to fix my life so that it is just, like a friend of mine used to say, hunky-dory. No problems, no sweat. You know, I get up in the morning and the sun's shining. My wife loves me to death. She fixes my favorite food. I go to work and my boss says, hey, you got a big raise. By the way, you don't have to come to work anymore. I'll pay you anyway. And I get sick. Oh, no, I don't get sick. I don't ever get sick. I don't ever get tired. I don't ever have to watch TV shows I don't like. They always have my favorite shows on. And on and on and on. What's that called? That's called dream world. That's not life. So why does God allow us to go through storms? Here we go. Number one, to get our attention. To get our attention. God uses storms to wake us up and pay attention to the marvelous things that he has for us, including his salvation. Has he been trying to get your attention lately? Have you ever been in class when you were a kid and you were daydreaming about, oh, he's such a dreamboat, I hope he asks me out. I can tell some of you have. Or, man, I'm going to get to go hunting this weekend. I wish I didn't have to listen to this old algebra stuff. And suddenly you woke up and the teacher's saying to you, Sherman, what's the answer to that problem? Sometimes teachers have to wake us up, right? And sometimes God has to do that. Because we're so involved in our lives and in everything we want and everything we think life ought to be that God has to say, hey, wake up. Look up here. Pay attention. And some of us don't pay attention to God at all unless he does that to us. A friend of mine once said, laying in bed from a very bad illness, you know what? You can see God better from right here. Sometimes he has to bring storms to get us to pay attention. Has he been talking to you lately? That stuff going on in your life may not simply be random stuff. It's God saying, hello, wake up, I'm talking to you. Secondly, I think God uses storms in our lives to get us to seek after him. To seek after him. The disciples didn't call on Christ as long as they thought they could do the job. Notice, They're fighting and they're going through all this and they're bailing and they're rowing. And finally, they think they're going to die. So they say, "Hey, wake up, Lord. Don't you care about us?" That's the other question that's the other thing we ask God when we're in storms. "Don't you care? Don't you care about me, God? I lost my job. Don't you care about me? Lord, I lost somebody. Don't you care about me?" You ever do that to God? Are you guilty of that? Ask yourself, if my life were perfect, would I seek after God's help? No. It's kind of like when you got a mechanical problem on your vehicle. Do you look for a mechanic when everything is going good? No, you don't want to see those guys. They charge too much. Sorry, Fletcher. Yeah. We don't want to see them. Everything's going good. Now, when things go bad, man, we look the first. Anybody has any mechanical ability, we're looking for them, brother. And that's true with God. We don't search after God until we've got problems in our lives. I think that's why God says, "Okay, I'm going to send you a little storm. Let's see how well you can do. Rock the boat a little bit. Let's get some lightning. Let's get some water going. Now, do you notice me? Are you going to call on me now?" And you know what he says? Look at verse 39. When we call on him, the response is always to help us. You hear me? God doesn't ignore us. Look at verse 39. When they say, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" Jesus calmly stands up and says what? "Quiet. Be still." The wind died down and it was calm. Imagine that. Imagine that picture. You're in the middle of this storm. The lightning's cracking. The waves are blowing. You're about to drown. You think you're looking for the life jackets, and the waves are tossing. And Jesus just stands up. "Quiet. Be still." Is it any wonder they said, "Whoa, who is this?" And that's the next reason. He wants to show us who he is. In 39 through 41, he shows us who he is. He demonstrated his deity by calming the winds and the waves with his voice. "Be quiet. Be still." We can't even do that with our kids, much less nature. And I don't see Jesus going, "Be quiet. Be still." I just see Jesus standing up and going, "Be quiet. Be still." The God who created these things, commanded these things. He showed them who he was. That's why they say, "Who is this?" They were afraid. "Who is this person that he can do that? Wow. Who is this that even the winds and the waves obey him," they say. I think we see God's face best in the midst of life's storms. If the disciples had not been forced to go through this and face this danger and this fear, they would have not had the privilege of seeing this great miracle. Imagine that. If they had not gone through the storm, they would have never seen what he did in this miracle. If you are not sick and you ask God to heal you, you don't have the privilege of seeing a miracle if you don't go through that stuff. So often what God wants to do in that storm is to show you who he is and what he can do when you call on him. How many great manifestations of God's power and love do we miss because we're not willing to accept the storms as God's way of revealing himself to us? Remember Elijah back in the Old Testament? Remember that? He was discouraged. Remember? He had this great fear, great victory where all of the fire came down on the altar and all of the prophets of Baal were made to look like fools. Then he got discouraged and he ran away. And he went on this mountain and he said, "Oh God, you just will take my life. It's over." God said, "What are you doing here? Why are you here? Well, God, you know, the queen, she's after me, this terrible Jezebel. Why are you here? And God didn't speak that in a time when he was all happy and everything was going great. God spoke that consoling word to him in the midst of the storm of his life. He saw what God did in this terrible time, and he does that for us. So he wants to get our attention. He wants to get us to seek him. And if you've never trusted Christ, hey, listen, God's knocking on your heart door. Hey, pay attention to me. God wants to show us who he is. And the last thing is, God wants to change us. He wants to make us different. The greatest spiritual growth usually comes after the greatest trials. Let me say it again. The greatest spiritual growth usually comes after the greatest trials. Look back at the Old Testament, at the people there. Look at the New Testament, the great men and women of the faith. He wants to temper us like steel. Now, a while back, I was watching a show about... Oh, we're not happy. Do we have somebody in the nursery? Would that help? You want to go sit in the nursery? You don't have to listen to Mr. Sherman? Okay. You know, I was watching a blacksmith show a while back, and they were making swords or something like that. And they would heat this up, and they would quench it in oil or something. And I was interested in that because it looked like they were going to destroy this thing. They got it so hot, it looked like it might melt and fall apart. But every time they did that, it changed the composition of this metal to make it stronger and stronger and stronger. And by the way, God wants to change us that way. When he puts us in the fire, it's not to destroy us, it's to make us stronger so that we can reach a new height of spiritual growth. And as you look at the scripture, you notice too, God wants to use the storms in your life to remove those things that are useless and decayed. When you have a big storm, in fact, Toby was saying it earlier this morning that there was a big tree that fell across one of the roads somewhere in the parish. He heard it on his radio. The first tree to fall in a storm is the one that seems strong on the outside but is rotten on the inside. What are you like on the inside? God wants to change you. Now we know the scripture says we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. None of us can claim anything but that. Let me ask you, what is it about your life that needs to change? I mean, God's bringing storms into your life to change you. What is it that needs to change? Your interest in spiritual things? Is he trying to tap you on the head? Hey, listen to me. Pay attention. Is your attitude about God? Is it your lifestyle? Don't fight storms' lives. Life storms, I'm sorry. Let God change you through them. Let God do his work through the storm. If you're already a believer, God's trying to bring you to a new level of spiritual growth. If you fight, if you say no to God, you're just going to sink lower instead of going up. If you say, God, here I am, change me, cleanse me, temper me for your work, he's going to do that. If you say, hey, I don't want to have anything to do with this, you're heading down the ladder. But if you don't know Christ as Savior, he may be saying to you, hello, I'm here. I'm the God that died for your sins. I'm the Savior that wants to give you eternal life, forgive your sins. Let's pray. Maybe you're here this morning and you can't grow spiritually because you don't know Christ as your Savior yet. How about it? The Word of God says you're a sinner like the rest of us. Romans 3:23 says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's you and the rest of us. And then it says in Romans 6:23 that the wages of sin is death. That means that we can never, ever look forward to anything but condemnation until we trust Christ as Savior. But it says that Jesus died on the cross to pay for our sins. The scripture's clear. He died, and he took your sins on him, and he paid for those sins, and you can have that free gift of salvation this morning. You might want to pray a prayer like this. Heavenly Father, I know I'm a sinner, and I know my sin will never let me get to heaven. But I know that Jesus died on a cross, and he took my place. And right now I'm asking you to forgive me and make me yours. I'm trusting you instead of me. Just pray those words. It's not the words that count. It's your attitude toward God. Trust him instead of you. And then maybe you want to share it as we sing in just a few minutes. Heavenly Father, we look at our lives, and often we define our lives by the storms that have taken place. Whatever that storm be, so often we look at them as negative things because they hurt. They're not pleasant. But you bring them to get our attention, to change us, to cause us to seek you, to show us who you are. And I pray that we might look at those things and say, Lord, if this is what you want, help me to learn what I need to learn through it. Give me the grace, give me the strength to be able to go through it and emerge on the other side better prepared to be the kind of Christian you want me to be. Lord, if there's any who've never trusted Christ, may you work in those hearts. Help them to understand. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.